Let's go to Cincinnati and bring in one of our favorites, CSN Bags, Andy Baggerly of CSN Bay Area. Bags, how are you today?
Marty, you got to laugh or else you're going to cry. So just pick one and roll with it.
Well, who said, now you've been tweeting already this morning. I'm very impressed that you're up, and Alex Pavlovich has already tweeted. And I sent him a private text this morning so he wouldn't feel bad today.
But, oh, that's nice. You know what? That's very considerate of you, because I know that he gets jealous when you text me during the games and not him.
I know. We had fun doing that last night. I appreciate it. But who said the quote, you know, when you're going through hell, just keep going? I think you should have refined it now.
I thought it was country music legend and esteemed Tennessee Tech graduate Rodney Atkins, but it turns out that Winston Churchill said it before that, and he was known as a speechifier. So let's go ahead and give Winston Churchill the benefit of the doubt and Mr. Atkins for turning it into a fine country music song.
Yeah, I thought I was going to give it to Hunter Pence. That's how far back I was going.
Well, it was. He had it right. He said he read it somewhere. If you're going through hell, keep going. And the rest of the country song is you might get out before the devil even knows you're there. So, you know, that's where the Giants are right now. You've got to try to find a little gallows humor, whatever you can, because, you know, if you just start thinking about what's going on the field, you're going to drive yourself crazy. I mean, we're talking about, and it is cherry-picking a little, but if you take the current slumps, at their worst, that Gregor Blanco, Pablo Sandoval, and Brandon Crawford are in, you get 1 for 73. Yeah. I don't even know how that is possible. And then Hunter Pence has got a 2 for 25.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's half your lineup almost, and you're getting no hits. So, you know, and 7 hits, by the way, in 3 games, Live Sports Bureau looked it up, and that matches the fewest over any 3 games in the San Francisco era history. You got to go back to the fine, great season of 1978. So many great memories from 1978.
Wow.
And that's the only other year when they were that, pathetic, really, over 3 games.
Well, that was Vita's first year. We'll have to go through that with Vita and see what kind of run support he had that year. You know, you put in Posey 0-for-9 as well, and you're right, it's over 100 at-bats with nothing happening. I posed the question today, and two things I want to say. One, when you're losing like this in baseball, it looks like you'll never, ever win another game, then all of a sudden, baseball cycles happen, and people start to hit, things happen to other teams, and all of a sudden you win 7 of 10. And then the fortunes turn, but they're 6 games under 500 now. And each loss buries them a little bit more under 500, which I think is significant because you look at the Dodger run and all the games they've won, they're still 3 games under 500. So the key for me is just win a game and then somehow get this thing back to 500.
Well, Bruce Bochy agrees with you. That's why he took out Barry Zito when he did. That's why he got matchups in the fifth inning like he did. You know, they even said it after the game. We're worrying about tomorrow. We're trying to win one game, because if you don't win that first game, you know, the consequences of tomorrow almost don't matter, because the further you get into this slide, you know, and players, I think, do their best, and a lot of them do a pretty good job, actually, of taking it one game at a time and not, you know, not taking all of this negativity up there with every at-bat. But the more you go through it, and the, you know, this is not just a bad road trip, obviously. They've got the worst record in baseball since May 14th when they went to Toronto. You know, it sort of just eats away at you. Every single loss, every empty at-bat, it starts eating away at your confidence you know, kind of like sulfuric acid or something like that. So, you know, what you got to do is just insulate yourself from it, and the best thing you can do to insulate yourself from it is just to get a win and try to turn the page. And that's what they're going to try to do today if we can get the game in.
Yeah, Andy Baggerly with us. I'm so happy that he'll join us this morning early here, 7:25 here, and obviously 10:25 back in Cincinnati. That's a good segue. The weather. And come on, this is a long day for me today. I'm thinking about myself right now. I'm not even thinking about you guys. I don't need any rain delays today. What's the weather like?
Well, first of all, I got to tell you, this is funny, Marty. I never get upgraded anymore on United Airlines. Hint, hint, there's a little perk for you, United, free publicity. And so I got an email, and I've been upgraded on both my flights. The only problem is They're leaving tonight after the game, and I don't think I have a prayer of making either one. But the Reds have a big gate. Obviously, it's July 4th. There is one common off day between these two teams. It's on August 29th. I looked it up. They would be in the middle of a road trip with St. Louis and Colorado on either end. So that part's conceivable, but they play 20 in a row before that off day. If you take it away, they play 34 in a row. Wow. And I really don't think you're going to see them approve it. More than 20 in a row, the union has to approve it. And I don't think that they would. So if they don't get this game in today, you're really looking at a situation where they would have to reschedule it for the end of the season and then only play it if necessary, if it impacts the postseason for either team or whatever. And plus, the league has really, really been very strident about not having shortened seasons. They really don't like teams playing 161 games, you know, for the purposes of the statistics and the standings and just, you know, having everything lined up and looking pretty. So I think we're going to be here as long as we need to be. The key for me is that they need to start this thing on time. And it's really light enough that they can play right now. But if they start it at 1:10 like they're supposed to, 10:10 your time, then it's in the hands of the umpires. And we all know that the umpires can really let them play through a lot more maybe than they can just get it started on time. I think the umpires are going to let both sides wear it and just play.
Yeah.
That's what I'm hoping anyway.
No, I think you're right. And you get to the end of the season with the two wild cards now. You don't have that many off days to kind of mess around with this thing. That would be another problem.
A great point.
Yeah. Well, the ownership of the Reds, they want to play today. It's July 4th. This is the cradle of baseball. 1869, the Cincinnati Red Stockings started it. It's July 4th. They're going to have a sellout. They're winning. They'll wait forever for this thing to be played today. And unless it looks like that torrential downpour you had the other day, my prediction is it's getting played.
I think so, too. I think that they're going to put up with a lot to get this game in, given all the factors we just discussed. So let's just keep a good thought.
Yeah.
And if you have to grill in the rain, well, bring an umbrella.
Okay. My other thought is this. With this slump and with this division, Brian Sabian has said, is he on this trip, by the way, with the club?
No, he's not. Bobby Evans has been on parts of this trip, but Brian is not.
Okay.
Brian was in L.A. I take that back. Brian was in L.A.
Right. So he says, look, I want to see what the club can do. Well, the club is showing him what they can do or can't do. Are his hands tied in this thing right now? You know, 1-8, you're 6 games under .500. It's still a division that, as I say, it'll take you 2.5 weeks to dig out of this thing when you're 6 games under .500. Are his hands tied right now until that happens?
Well, and this is the way I wrote it the other day. I wrote it yesterday and comparing this to 2005, which is really kind of a similar situation. The Giants were, I think, about 12 under .500 and really not playing good baseball as they got to the trade deadline. But the Padres were leading the division and they were 1 game under .500. They won the division at 82-80 that year. So the Giants, even though they were just not a good team at all, they were only 5.5 out. And what you saw the Giants do was they went out and got Randy Winn, and they thought he was a guy who was controllable beyond 1 year, and they liked him as an everyday player. They thought he could, you know, boost the club and give the club a little psychological lift and obviously use his baseball skills to help down the stretch that year, but he really was a move that was more long range. And I think that's what you're going to see them do this time around. Look for those guys who could be under contract for next year who maybe could plug a rotation hole. Maybe it's somebody like a Bud Norris. Maybe it's somebody like a Jake Peavy. We all know what the names are out there.
Yeah.
But I don't think you see them do what they did in 2011, where they get a Carlos Beltran who's a rental player and give up a top prospect. First of all, you don't trade your top pitching prospect twice in 3 years regardless. It's just insanity. And Kyle Quirk is certainly that guy right now, looking at 10 strikeouts in 6 innings again last night. So you let it play out at this point. And I think the players, it does help them when they see management go out and get somebody, because then they take that to mean, hey, they believe in us. They believe we can get this done. Well, management ain't making that move right now, that's for sure. But you just let it play out, and you see what can happen. And as you get closer to the deadline, if you can get a, you know, like a spin row for Charlie Culberson, a prospect who's kind of, topped out, stalled out at the higher levels. Maybe Heath Embry is one of those guys. Maybe Gary Brown's one of those guys. It's all depends on how they evaluate their own people. But, you're not going to see them give up a Kyle Crick for a rental player. That for much is certain.
No, we'll let you go. I know. What are you doing, by the way, now? Are you at the park yet, or what's up with you?
Yep, I'm here.
Oh, good.
Park's on the field.
All right. If it took one player right now to turn the fortunes of this team around, then I'd say okay. But when you go through the slumps and you go through, missing Pagan, Scudero's hurt, the slump of Sandoval, the slump of Blanco, the slump of Crawford, you could bring in Alex Rios and his six brothers, and it's not going to make a difference. Unless you bring in Miguel Cabrera or bring Barry Bonds back, one player is not going to turn this thing around. So my thought is you just have to get Godin back, get him in the rotation, get the bullpen starting to look a little bit better. These slumps will end. People will play. And then it's the end of the month, and if you think you can do something then, or you do it in August, to tell you the truth. You can make a waiver deal in August for that kind of player that you're talking about.
Sure. And especially if you're taking on a little money. Sure.
Yeah, I would wait till August. I think until this ball club comes out of this thing, one player, I know on our talk show yesterday, on our station here, one of our hosts was going nuts about Alex Rios, and he couldn't wait to bring him in. Alex Rios could do nothing for this club right now. It's absurd. He was screaming about it. I felt, I almost had to come in here and calm him down. But
Rios,
I don't want to say that about Larry. I like Larry. Oh, did I say his name? I'm sorry.
I understand. Rios makes a little sense because, he's under contract for next year. We know the Giants liked him in the past. Hell, they almost traded Tim Lincecum for him.
Yeah.
He is making, I think, like $12.5 million next year. PB also making like around 14, I think, next year. So, if they do like those guys and think that, they could be good fits for next season, especially, a guy in the rotation. I mean, and this is one thing that could really impact what happens with the Hunter Pence. If they go out and they could get, a Jake Peavy or a Bud Norris or some of these pitchers that they know they can control for next season, we know a lot of money's coming off the books, but we also know that even if they take up Brian Vogelsong's option, they're going to have two rotation vacancies.
Right.
And I don't know if anybody's going to be able to come up from the minors to grab those jobs. So their first priority, spending-wise, is going to be on stabilizing this rotation. And, Pence is going to want to hear something from them, and I don't think the Giants would be ready to play ball and make them a contract offer early in this offseason unless they know what they're doing with their rotation, because that has to be their first priority. So, if they make a deal for pitching and they can settle that area down a little bit, then maybe Pence could be more of a front burner type of thing, when this offseason begins. And maybe it increases the chances that he comes back, because certainly he's been a good fit here and he enjoys it here. These are all different balls
sure.
in the air.
And sure.
it's a dynamic that changes every day. You're always reacting to what you're seeing from the club.
Right.
But, getting a little smaller picture, they
yeah.
just need to string some hits together, get some guys to put some offers behind them,
yeah.
and just try to turn the page on this, because it's ridiculous right now.
Yeah. No, then they got to get to 500. Until they get to 500, we're not talking. That's the thing. You got to get to 500, then you can talk. You did a very interesting column last night, and Pat printed it out for me, and I read it this morning about Pablo Sandoval. And I imagine you must have gotten numerous tweets and messages last night about the possibility of sending him to Fresno. What is your take on that?
Well, you know what? It's not a red herring so much, because what I wanted people to understand and to know is they could send him to AAA, but they can only send him to AAA for another month or so.
Right.
And then he's going to have 5 years of service time. I think August 1st is the day that he, or August 2nd is the day that he, the clock kicks into 5 full years.
Right.
Once you have 5 full years, you can, as a ball player, refuse an optional assignment.
Right.
They've never used an option on Pablo Sandoval, ever.
Right.
So, you know, he's not out of options, but it's a service time thing. And it's, you know, it's not something that I see happening at all. I think that they realize that he's one of their core guys. They have to sink and swim with him. And he's not the only guy struggling, as we've discussed. He just sticks out more. He sticks out because, you know, he's a bigger name. They have bigger expectations. And he's bigger, period. You know, everybody knows that
he sticks out more. You put it aptly.
He does. Yeah. So, you know, they could send him to the minors. They could threaten him with that. But they could only do it for another couple weeks. Yeah. And that was the information I wanted to get across.
Yeah, my fear would be he has to be under their supervision. And every time he's not under their supervision, bad things happen. So even if you benched him, at least you keep him here and watch him and work him. But you send him down to Fresno, who knows what can happen after that.
Well, and they can't even, you know, they would have loved to have sat him down and taken some playing time away from him and given Arias some starts. But right. Arias wasn't healthy enough to go. You know, yesterday he played in the field for the first time in 9 days with that hamstring. Right. So, you know, Bochy didn't even have that option. One of my followers on Twitter said they should hit him eighth. And then make him lose 10 pounds, or for every 10 pounds he loses, he gets to move up a spot in the order. But, well, that's pretty novel.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I don't think that'll happen, but I do think that it's time to move him down for the time being and move maybe Grayman Delta.
Yeah, I think we're going to see that. One last thought for you. You know, I could talk to you all day about this stuff. The infield fly rule, force out, tag out of Posey. When I watched it on TV, I just thought that Phillips just deked everybody and the Giants just fell asleep. Then I said, well, what about the first base coach? Did anyone ask Roberto Kelly what he thought in there? Was he screaming at Posey?
I did not see Roberto Kelly, but I did talk to a number of players. I talked to Bruce Bochy about that. Just out of curiosity, like you said, what happens is when that ball goes up in the air and the umpires call infield fly, Pence, as you know, is automatically out. And the umpires are supposed to point and are supposed to wave,
right.
And then they're supposed to yell.
Right.
So the first base coach knows, so the runners know. That way they hold because the ball's live,
right.
And you can advance at your own peril. Well, if you're Brandon Phillips, he didn't hear it. Because if he had, he would have just caught the ball, it's an automatic out. Posey didn't hear it. Roberto Kelly didn't hear it. And from everything I can gather, the only umpire that anybody heard was Adrian Johnson, who did a masterful job behind the plate for Homer Bailey's no-hitter. Problem is, Johnson was the third base umpire,
okay.
So he was the furthest away from everybody. So that was Bochy's contention. Hey, you know what? You call infield fly. You got to make sure everybody can hear it because our guys couldn't hear it. So that was the Giants' contention.
Gotcha. Okay, very good. That was a great baseball play. Hey, Andy, thank you so much for coming on and have a nice trip back. I hope you go back first class. And
thank you, Marty.
I hope that works for you. And are you going to be at the park tomorrow?
That would be no. I will not be.
Good. All right.
Hey, I might be on a plane tomorrow. Who knows?
Yeah, so you deserve a day off.
But I'll be out there Sunday. I can't take a whole Dodger series off for sure. So I'll see you out there Sunday.
All right. Thank you so much. Have a good afternoon, and we'll follow you on Twitter at CSN Bags, and of course, I'll send you some private text.
Okay, sounds good. Hey, happy 4th, Marty. Happy 4th, everybody.
Yeah, if you want a good story, talk to Dave Righetti today. 30 years ago, he no-hit the Yankees and no-hit the Red Sox on George Steinbrenner's birthday.
30 years ago today.
I
should take note of that.
Yeah,
cool.
That's a good story. All right, thanks, Andy. Thanks so much.
Take care.
All right, that is Andy Bagley. Pat, the best, isn't he?
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Baggerly's. Now, did he grow up playing baseball?
I don't know.
This weekend, we'll have to have him on.
That's a good question.